morning. We're glad to be together to worship our God. We do have visitors with us today, and as been said, we're very glad that you're here and hope you can be back with us at a future time. We come to the end of 2013. We look back, and we can see a lot of things have happened to a lot of different folks, and probably many things have happened in your life. We've had challenges. We've had sorrows and sadness. We've had loss. We've had health problems, but we've also had many, many blessings, many wonderful victories that our Lord has given to us, many, many ways that we've been blessed in His service, so much to be thankful for. As we look back, we realize that God's been with us every step of the way, to the degree that we have been with Him, to the degree that we have had our faith in Him. And it's a wonderful thought to know that He is with us yet. This morning we want to look into the future and think about what we're doing in the present to prepare for our future. The Christmas season has just come and gone here in North Alabama. A lot of the stores were jammed for weeks with parents buying gifts for children. I made a concerted effort to stay out of Walmart for at least 2 weeks, and I think probably many of you had that same sort of desire to stay away from those kinds of places as much as possible. Many of the children, of course, were told that if they expected to get the presents they wished for, they had better be good. They better be good. Of course, the children were dreaming about getting those presents, whatever they had wished for, many of them. And they, some of them at least, were trying to be a little bit better so that they might receive those presents. Now, the parents are going to give the presents regardless, most of the time, whether the children are good or bad. They wind up pretty much getting what they've asked for. We were tempted more than once to give our children lumps of coal when they were growing up, but most of the time they got what it was that they asked for. They were good enough. We understand the concept. We understand the concept of giving a gift and yet holding that gift out as a motivation for better behavior. Our Father in heaven also understands that principle. He understands that people will work to be rewarded, even if the reward is not something that they've earned, even if it's something that's a gift. So this morning I want to talk about working to be rewarded. And the principle, first of all, that heaven is a reward. It's spoken of that way many times in Scripture. Now, when I use the word reward, I'm going to define it this way, as the Encarta Dictionary does. It's something that's desirable, given in return for what somebody has done. Something desirable, given in return for what somebody has done. It's a benefit obtained as a result of an action taken or a job that's done. Now, a lot of people have trouble with this concept. How can heaven be a reward? How can eternal salvation be a reward, something that's given for what you've done, when you know that you cannot earn that reward, that salvation, by your works? There are a lot of people who have trouble with that. And what happens is they have to work all of this out in some sort of systematic theology and figure out how it's all going to fit together in some human doctrinal set of facts. And they fail in doing that oftentimes to accept the simple statements of Scripture. I believe that heaven is a gift. I believe that salvation is a gift. The Bible says that. The Bible also says that salvation and heaven is a reward. I believe that too. They're not opposed. They're not contradictory. They're different ways of us thinking about truth. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's not because we've been so good that we deserve salvation that God saves us. Paul plainly says that. It's by His mercy. It's by the extension of His grace. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the same apostle says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You don't earn salvation. You don't earn what Jesus did for you in dying on the cross. And yet, despite all of that, heaven is a reward. The Scriptures plainly teach it in many places. Heaven is something that we're to work toward. Heaven is something that is a reward for things that we've done. Those things are plainly stated in Scripture. Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, Blessed are you, when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Listen to that. Great is your reward in heaven. When you're willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, when you're willing to be persecuted for His name's sake, when you're willing for people to say bad things about you and against you for the cause of Christ, there's a reward. Great is your reward in heaven. The book of Hebrews teaches that holding on to our confidence in Christ has great reward. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Where the inspired writer says, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." The writer pictures a person enduring in doing the will of God, just keeping on doing the will of God. And after having done the will of God, then they receive the promise. It's like you promised a child a present. You better be good if you want that present. You give the present out of love. The present's a gift. But you tell them, you behave, you do your chores, you work. Is that inconsistent? We all understand it when it comes to giving children presents. Can't we understand it when it comes to God giving us heaven? Same principle, same concept. God is trying to motivate us. He's trying to keep us, help us keep on keeping on, to endure. And that after we have done what His will is, we'll receive that promised reward. Paul told servants to do their work in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, he says, "As to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance." Now there, heaven is described in two different ways. It's described as a reward, but also as an inheritance. Something that you just receive because you're a child. Because you're a child whom the Father loves. He just gives it to you. That's what an inheritance is, but it's called the reward of an inheritance. So the Scriptures definitely depict heaven as a reward. And while that may surprise us and trouble some people theologically who are entrapped in things like Calvinism and so on and so forth, it doesn't trouble me. And it really shouldn't surprise us. Our Father in heaven expects His children to behave. He expects His children to love Him and to show it in their actions day by day. And the reward of heaven is used as a motivation to do so. Don't get me wrong. Heaven is no mere bribe. It's a consequence. It's a consequence of what God has done for us, the gift that He gave to us, and of the faith and love that we have for Him in return. The Lord desires to grant a heavenly inheritance to all men. In fact, He's done everything that could be done to make that possible. He's done everything that could be done so that all men could enjoy the glories of heaven. But don't let anybody deceive you. Faith must work. Love must labor if we expect to receive the reward. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul talks about the work of faith and the labor of love that the Thessalonians were engaged in. Those who refuse to labor for the Lord show themselves to be disinterested in heaven and unappreciative of the gift. You ever told your child, well, you must not want that present very much the way you're acting? God can tell. God can tell by what we do how much we want the gift. My father, as I've shared with you stories about him and me over the years, he made quite an impression on my life. He was a sergeant in the Army, spent 21 years in the Army, and he raised me as if I were a private in the Army. He would often give me chores to do, missions to be accomplished, and whether it was taking out the trash or cleaning my room or washing the car or working in the garden or painting the house on a couple of occasions, I knew one thing. When I got finished with my job, whatever it was, there was going to be an inspection. And based upon that inspection, I was going to either receive praise or discipline. I could count on it. We need to appreciate the fact we're working for a reward. And our work is going to be inspected. Less work to be rewarded, because our works will be judged and rewarded on the basis of what it is that we have done. Again, the Bible is crystal clear on this topic. There will be a day in which our Lord will examine our works and determine our reward. The last day will be judged according to our works. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 27, "The Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and He will reward each according to his works." Reward according to his works. Jesus promised in Revelation 22 and verse 12, "I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." In Revelation chapter 20, in verses 11, 12, 13, John sees this great judgment scene. And he sees in verse 12 the dead, the small and the great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Friends and brethren, never let anyone tell you that your works have nothing to do with you going to heaven. Now, we've already said your works aren't going to earn you heaven. But that's a far sight from saying they don't have anything to do with you going to heaven. You'll be judged and rewarded according to your works. Paul said that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. God keeps a record of what we've done. That's evident in these passages. God knows all of the works, good and bad, that we've done. And our only hope as we stand before him is that the bad things that we've done have been blotted out, have been forgiven through the blood of his Son, that we've met the conditions for him to do that. And all of those bad things that were on our record have been blotted out, as the Scripture talks about. And the only thing that's left are the good works that we've done, and God will look at those and say to us, "Enter in, good and faithful servant." The day of our inspection is coming. I guess it's easy for me to count on that the way I was raised. Maybe some of you were raised where you did chores and work that weren't inspected. But I want to tell you what, God is the judge of our works. And we will receive from Him according to what we've done in the body, whether good or bad. Jesus counsels us in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13, therefore, to watch. Watch, therefore, He says, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Watch and be ready. It almost reminds you of one of those songs the kids sing around the holidays, doesn't it? You better watch out. You better watch out. Because the Lord sees your works. And He will reward accordingly. The difference between our Lord and parents is, again, that parents sometimes give the children what they want, no matter how the children have behaved. But our Lord assures us that that will not be the case. In fact, our Lord tells us that it's very possible for us to lose our gift, for us not to receive the full reward. In fact, He warns us. He warns us through His Apostle John in 2 John verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose the things that we've worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Listen to that. Watch out that you don't lose what it is that you worked for, but that you might receive the full reward. We are running a race for a prize. That requires a lot of constant and continual effort. The Apostle says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. That's a reward. Oh, you don't earn it, but you run for it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. When Paul came to the end of his life, he was able to say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. What was that? It's a reward for what he'd done. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who've loved His appearing. We must run the race. But we must run the right race. I've often wondered if something like this could happen, and I read a story not long ago that confirmed my suspicions, that somebody might run a race and expect a prize, but not run the right course. A few years ago, there was a world-class lady marathon runner who lived in New York. She received an invitation to run a race in Connecticut. She got the directions to the place where the race was to be held. She got up early on the race day and drove to what she thought was the location, but she got lost and she couldn't find it. It was before the days of cell phones, and so she couldn't just, you know, call somebody and figure out where it all was. But she finally came into this little town and pulled into a gas station. She asked about, is there a race going on around here? I'm supposed to run in a race today. And the gas station attendant said, yeah, in fact, it's just right up the road here. They're gathering at this shopping mall. And she said, well, that must be it, because this was supposed to start at a shopping mall. So she went up the road and got there just in time, right before the race started. She ran up to the table where people were registering and checking in. She announced herself, and the people said, wow, we can't believe you're here. She was a very famous, well-known runner. And but they signed her up very quickly. They gave her the number and they got her to the starting line. And the gun went off and she raced and she won. She won easily. She won by several minutes, this long distance race. When she crossed the finish line, she was greeted. She received a small trophy. But she did not receive the prize money that she expected to receive or the performance money that she expected for being there as a star athlete. None of that. Because as she soon discovered, she'd run entirely in the wrong race. And the race that she was supposed to run in was being held in another town several miles away. The Apostle Paul says, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You have to run the right race. You have to run the race according to the rules that God has set out for you, according to His will for your life. And if you don't do that, it doesn't matter how hard you run or how hard you work, you'll not receive the reward that you're expecting at the end. The Lord has given each of us duties to accomplish, things to be done in His service. The parable of the talents illustrates this so very well. He expects all of us to do something. There are people who have a lot of ability and He gives to them a lot of responsibilities. There are those that receive 5 talents. There are those who have less ability and yet the Lord still expects them to do some things. And they receive 2 talents, 2 responsibilities. And maybe there are those with very little ability and yet still they have some ability and they can do something. And the Lord expects them to take care of some things. And it doesn't matter whether you're a 5-talent, a 2-talent, or a 1-talent person. The Lord expects you to work. The 1-talent man in the parable of the talents was not condemned for having little ability. He's condemned for being lazy and for not working. And he did not receive a reward, that was positive at least, because he did not work. And if you listen to what the Lord says to the 5-talent man who did work and to the 2-talent man who did work and who increased those talents and gained even more, He says to both of them, Matthew 25 verse 21, Matthew 25 verse 23, He says to both of them, well done. And they both turned to Him and said, we didn't do anything. Did they? I don't think so. It was well done because they'd done something. The Lord wants to give you heaven. He's given you some things to do along the way. Will He say, well done to you? Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. We're going to sing a song in a moment. Will Jesus find us watching? Listen to the line. When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him, will He find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. If at the dawn of the early morning, He shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will He answer thee, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Work to be rewarded. No, you're not going to earn heaven. But we need to be working as if we were. Is that the way your life is? Have you given Jesus your all? Everything that He's asked you to do, what He's expecting of you as His child, as His servant? let's dedicate ourselves to a future of working day by day so that we might enter that heavenly city and be together at last with our Lord and Savior. And hear those blessed words. Well done. Are you ready to give your life to Him this morning? We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.